What's up, guys? Welcome to season two of the Nurse Speak podcast. I am your host, EB. I am here with Emily.
Hi, guys.
And we are super excited to be back. We have missed you guys.
Yeah, we had a break. It was great, but we're really, really excited to be back.
We missed you guys so much that now we made a YouTube.
Yeah, so you can watch us.
You can not only listen to us, but now you can watch these videos.
And see how awkward we are.
It's very awkward. So I hope you guys can forgive that part. First episode of season two, the topic is workplace relationships. And I gotta say, there are a lot of gems in this episode. Our two guests today are Val and Sheena. They are very insightful on this topic. Grab a notebook.
Yeah, pencil and pen. There's some good personal reflections that are probably gonna happen.
Yeah, some gems will be dropped and you don't wanna miss them. Without any further ado, we bring you the first episode of season two. Hope you enjoy it.
Hi, I'm Sheena at Keeping It Kinky on Instagram. How's everybody doing? My specialty, I'm a floater, so I go everywhere. I go everywhere in the hospital that's needed. They call it pool nurses in Philly. I don't know if that's a thing anywhere else.
Yep.
I work at a trauma hospital. Philly's been popping lately. I'm trying to get everybody calm down, stop the violence. it's been a lot. I had this viral video back in March of basically me telling people to stay their asses home. I honestly made that video in like, where I was like, these people really not gonna stay home in a pandemic. And I came home after night shift, made that video outside of my house, no makeup on, just was like, oh, let me just talk about this. I had like 1,800 followers at the time. Literally a few days later, it went viral all around the world. And I went from like 1,800 followers to 75,000 followers in like 48 hours. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, how was that?
So,
yeah. I watched that whole thing happen. I reshared that video. Like, I saw it on Shade Room. That was the first place I saw it. And then someone sent it to me and I posted it. And it was, I remember that week, it was like my most viewed thing I posted.
Really?
Yeah.
It's funny because this is my real personality. So many people ask other people like, oh, is she really like that? And I'm like, what am I like that is so unusual? But like, this is really how I am. So it was cool because everybody was understanding where I was coming. I think people really don't know what the ER is for. People really think that the ER is for like, oh, I have an issue, so let me just go to the hospital. Because no. Like ER, it says emergency. It's kind of like for emergencies. So like, yes, you know, if you have something that you cannot control or that you're scared or it feels different or not like your usual, of course, that's what we're here for. But if you have a headache that you have not taken Tylenol for, and it's, you know, it's just like, at least give us a little bit of help. You know, I didn't realize that was something that so many nurses went through. So I think that's kind of why it went viral, because it was so relatable to so many healthcare workers across the world of being like, yeah, sometimes we do need a break, guys, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it was great because, again, it shed light. And I think it also was like a moment of like camaraderie for everyone. I know some people are against like the funny videos and TikToks and things, but for me, it's almost like a nurse like wake up call. Like, you know, it's almost like a roll call. Like, hey, y'all all right over there in Cali? Oh, y'all all right over there in wherever? And it's like a moment to be like, everybody cool? All right, cool. Boom, yeah. We're good. So I was really happy to see so much camaraderie and everything like that. And, you know, so I'm still here, still on the COVID unit, still telling people to keep their asses home. And since then, right, since then I've launched my own business. It's called Kingston Conversation. This shirt is from there. I do essential t-shirts and all types of funny things that I post. Some things that I post are on there too. So if you guys ever have a second, check out www.kingstonconversation.com. Conversation with a K.
That's right. That's the way to do it. That's
good job.
Thanks. Great. My name is Valentine. I've been a nurse for 10 years now. I'm in Los Angeles, 31 years old. I mean, I just came from New York doing COVID, and now I'm back in LA. And I also do a couple business ventures on the side that I'm really passionate about. So I love that I'm in and out of the hospital and being able to live my life to the fullest.
Yeah. Tell us about these business ventures.
Yeah, what do you do?
Yeah, what are you up to?
So I have built a team from a while ago with a nutrition company. With this, you help people get results, nutrition results, and then you build a sales organization and you grow it from there. And I've owned a gym in Culver City here in LA for 3 years at one point, from 2014, 2017, closed it, came back full-time into nursing because I was switching my business model. So next year I'll be in Ghana starting a chain of nutrition smoothie cafes. So my goal is 10.
Super dope.
Yeah, my goal is that's 10. Awesome. And so, you know, that's what I'm talking about. This border, when this border opens, your boy is out.
I know that's right.
Your boy is out. I'm out.
Wait, you're Nigerian, right?
Yeah, I'm Nigerian. Yeah.
Okay.
I actually went to high school in Nigeria too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Born and raised in LA, but then for high school, for eighth grade, I left. And that was my first time in Africa once I was there.
What?
And I came back as a senior, did college, and then, yeah, and I'm here.
That's like the reverse.
Bro, like, right. That's a whole nother podcast, bro.
I can't imagine.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Wow, yeah. All right, so we're talking workplace relationships. And before we start, yeah, would either of you or have you dated someone you've worked with?
Hell no. That's like a work. I don't know. No, no.
So that's like a firm rule for you. Like you meet someone at work.
You know what? It's not a firm rule for me. It's not that I would never do it. It's just that I've seen it go so bad for other nurses that I just be like, don't do it, girl. Don't do it. It rarely goes well, you know?
And then you got to see them.
Yeah, you got to see them. And then everybody be knowing your business. Like nurses talk too much. Everybody know everybody's business. It's just too much. It's just too much for me.
Valentine, you're quiet over there. real silent. Oh.
Bro, I got real quiet. I'm just listening. I said, okay. I think
I'm not going to push it because I don't want to answer anything either.
Oh, look. No, this is a podcast. We're going to deliver. We're going to deliver.
Yes. No, you can't be in no podcast and be like, I can't.
We're going to deliver.
This is my
I'm like, dang, she really nothing? You could have made something up. Come on. You could have made something up.
You know, and the crazy part is I've had people come at me, but honestly, it's just like, I be nervous. I can't.
Don't be nervous. What if it's on another floor? I know you pull your flow pool, but it could be someone from the ICU.
I'm every floor. I'm a cleaner. Yeah. I go everywhere. There's nowhere that I don't go. I go to the ER, the ICU. I go.
Are you night shift? Are you night shift or day shift?
I'm night shift, but I'm not dating day shift. Day shift is weird. Night shift nurses don't mingle with day shift nurses. That's not even a thing.
Get somebody from the day shift.
No, we don't mingle with them. That's not even a thing. It's a squad.
Valentine's about to give us a master's class on this. He's like, you got to dance over the
station. All right, so how is it done?
But in all seriousness, if I found someone that was a nice person, I would give him a shot. It just never happened that way.
Oh, well, you guys get to react to people's stories that they just tell us a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I definitely have had, quite a few workplace relationships.
So what happened? Are you currently single?
Actually, I'm not.
Okay. Is this someone you met at work?
Nope. She is in another country.
Oh, wow.
When them borders open, that's why you out. Okay.
What? Is she in Ghana?
Everybody got to say that.
Like, I was wondering why you didn't go to Nigeria. So she's in Ghana.
She's in Nigeria, though. She's in Nigeria.
Okay.
See, I went to Ghana. Whenever I go back, if she's in Ghana, if I'm going to Ghana, I fly her out with me. And then if it's Nigeria, then she's already there. So it works.
How often do you go to Nigeria?
Well, last year I was there 3 times. So, this year I plan on going in October because apparently everything opens up by that time because my birthday's in October. And then in December, I'm going to be there for like, I don't know, I think I'm going to give it 2 months. I'm doing a one-way ticket, so we'll see.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Are you on a travel assignment?
Yeah. All I do is travel assignments. And then when I'm not on travel, I do agency shifts. I just pick up shifts. That's it.
Nice.
So I can leave if I want to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I need to do.
That's the kind of freedom that really when people ask me like, oh, what do you think about nursing? I'm like, you know, like I enjoy bedside, but like besides that aspect of it, like, yeah, you can literally make your schedule work to whatever you want to do. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, that's like the main selling point to me.
Yeah, travel nursing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And a lot of people are still really afraid of travel nursing, which
Don't be afraid.
I actually applied to go to Cali, but they license take too daggone long.
Yeah.
It takes a while, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
It is worth it.
The payout
once
here
you
is...
get here. Yeah, I was just talking to somebody today from New York, and he was like, man, this is my first time in Cali for life, like in life. Mm-hmm. And he's like, boy, I've been missing out. I told you, man. I told you.
Yeah. That first California paycheck too, you're like, oh.
And it's always nice outside.
Yeah. For the same job you've been doing your whole career.
And they have ratios.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump to the first story. As I'm telling the story, if there's anything that pops out to you, feel free to interrupt and comment on it.
React.
Otherwise, I'll run through a story. And at the end, I'll see if there's any comments. If not, we'll just keep moving. So first story. My EDRN coworker, let's call him Joe, and ED Tech, let's call her Lisa, started dating. They were actually good together for a while, kept it under wraps for the first couple of months, then it went public. Everyone loved them together. 8 months later, Lisa started getting suspicious that Joe was cheating. Joe decides to text her saying that he needs space. The next day, Lisa drives over to his place to talk things out. Sees his car in the parking spot of his apartment complex, goes up and knocks on the door. No answer. You know what I just realized? I think this story is the person. I think she just doesn't want us to know that.
Yeah.
Probably.
That's why she's telling it in my... That just dawned on. She knows so many details.
I'm like, how do you know that they did that?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Nurses do talk, so you never know.
Yeah, it might be her good friend, so...
The next day, Lisa drives over to his place to talk things out. Sees his car in the parking lot of his apartment complex. Goes up and knocks on the door. No answer. She gets suspicious. Knocks again. No answer, but she hears stuff rumbling inside. Knocks a third time. Joe answers and tries to slip out of the door saying, let's walk the dogs and talk, with the dog on a leash. Shit. Lisa has a suspicion that he has someone in there and basically forces her way into the apartment, saying, no, let's stay here and talk. She sees a pair of tennis shoes by the door that aren't his or hers, and she starts to go ballistic. She searches the whole apartment and finally opens the closet door to find our other EDRN, let's call her Rena, standing in the closet half-dressed. Rena has a husband and two kids. She screams at Rena to get out and basically chases her out of the apartment and officially ends it with Joe. Next day, she decides to message the cheating closet girl's husband and give him a heads up about what's going on. The husband ends up threatening Joe and then thanks Lisa and also sends Lisa a picture of half-filled allotted fentanyl and Ativan bottles that he found. Turns out Rena has been diverting for quite some time and gets fired halfway through her next shift. So now everyone finds out that Joe cheated on Lisa with Rena, who just so happens to also be a diverting homewrecker. Everyone hates Joe because Lisa is basically the sweetest, purest girl ever, and now no one talks to him, and he doesn't even have his closet hoe.
I done told y'all, don't mess with people at work. That is messy. Why?
Nothing has to be that messy, though. That's
an overboard, man. I always say? What I always say in these conversations is, listen, you got one person, then one try. You got one try. If that messes up, you're done with this unit.
Yeah. No more. Everyone that you're labeled, that's it.
That's the rule I give people. You got one try.
I just feel that went real far, real quick. But I do feel like, come on now, Lisa, was that your man? Was it her man?
He was putting it down. That's what happened.
But if that's not your man, I don't know about telling other people husbands and all of that. You know what I mean? Like if he told you if y'all broke it off, you walking into somebody's house acting like that's your man. That's not your man. That's not your man.
Well, okay. Me and Emily were talking about this earlier because I was like, he did tell her he needed space. So it's kind of weird that she just pulled up. But at the same time, they had been dating 8 months.
Yeah.
He was honest with her, though. He said he needed space. I don't have to tell you who else I'm sleeping with.
Interesting take.
Yeah. I'm just being honest. It would be one thing if he just continued to lie to her. But he told her, I need space. And then you came to his house, barged in the door, and found out who else he was sleeping with. At that point, it was no longer your business.
And then chased them out.
That's a good point.
And then officially ended it. That's
right. Now, it's one thing if they were in a committed, serious relationship for those 8 months, and I understand. But from what they're saying, it makes it seem like they was just kind of like dating, messing around, having a good time. So I think, like, you know, at that point.
No,
he said they were official.
Yeah, they were official.
They were official.
And then he just texts her. Like, this is what we talked about. Because, like, okay, if someone just texts you, I need space, and you've been dating them for 8 months, like, I feel like there is a conversation that needs to happen.
Yeah.
But I think it's weird to... My only thing about this, the only thing I...
He didn't like the element of surprise.
I'm just saying, you just can't just show up to someone's place.
But also, she's doing that because she's suspicious of something going on.
But imagine she got there and she was wrong, though. I would have been like, what are you doing here?
She would have been like, okay, I'm the one that needs to work on my personal issues. But obviously, he was doing something, so...
Yeah. I agree. I get both. That sucks on her part, though.
Yeah.
There's a couple of stories like this where... Like, well, not like this. Not quite like this, but there's one of them where it's like people are in relationships and they meet someone at work and they're like, oh, my relationship was kind of fizzling out, and they start something new and end it with the other person, right? And then we have stories that come from the other side where it's like, I was dating someone and then they broke up with me, but they must have been talking to someone, and they're like pissed. But I'm kind of like, that's a weird...
There's a gray area that does exist.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had that happen to me too.
I can just respect the honesty a little bit. That's the only thing that I say there. There's a lot of people that would have just kept dating both of them. So all I can say is that I respect them saying, like, okay, obviously this isn't working. Like, let me exit. I feel as though at that point, it's almost like, do you need to be honest at that point and break somebody's heart? I kind of understand why someone would be like, listen, I ain't even going to tell this person the rest of this. You know what I mean?
Just bow out gracefully.
I'm not saying it's right. But I just think that, like, calling her husband and doing all of that, like, that was a lot. Thank God they did, because, like, they revealed that she was doing something she wasn't supposed to be doing. But I do think that's a little, it seemed like it got real messy real quick on all parties. Everybody seemed like they was wrong, honestly.
Yeah. Good summary.
That was a good word. Yeah.
We're going to go with that.
Yeah. Everybody took it too far. Everybody had to sit down. That's why you should see. Gotta be watching.
See? She just said, yeah, I'm my business.
All right, next story. We met in 2016. I was reviewing for my BLS at work. I showed up to the class and it ended up getting pushed back an hour because the room had been double booked. When we finally got in, he was teaching and I recognized him as a tech who also worked night shift in the ER with me. I mentioned something to him about how we worked together, and that was that. I saw him again when I picked up a night shift and we went out to triage to chat. We talked for a few minutes and went our separate ways. Apparently, he went home from work that morning and told his roommate that he had just met the ideal woman, but that she had an engagement ring on. I was engaged to someone else at that point, and he was also in a relationship with someone else. We continued our friendship from afar, and then we somehow ended up in a random community college class together that summer, and our friendship really blossomed. I had no idea that he was completely in love with me the whole time, and I was still engaged to another guy.
Also, he's in a relationship too.
Yeah, everyone's in a relationship in this story, but just to clarify. I ended up seeing him at work all the time, and we talked frequently, pretty much daily. I got pregnant with my daughter by my ex-fiance and came to find out that my ex had been cheating on me for months with multiple women while I was pregnant. We broke up while I was 6 months pregnant, and my friend from work and I hung out pretty consistently the entire pregnancy. We hung out before I was single, but definitely increased more when I was no longer in a relationship. I never thought anything of it because I was pregnant and I had just been cheated on, so my entire self-image was incredibly low. I thought he pitied me, but in reality, a lot of the time he was supposed to be studying for the MCAT, he would instead drop everything and come hang out with my giant pregnant ass. Let me try that sentence again without the ass.
My pregnant self?
Yeah, it just sounds...
You had to say it with swag. You ain't say it with
swag. Yeah, I know. But listen, though.
Yeah, exactly.
She wrote it right. It was you.
Listen, I've read through these stories maybe once.
Don't worry. We understood it, Evie. We got it. We know what it is.
I'm not trying to make this dude sound like he has like a thing for like pregnant chicks, which I feel like it's what I just made.
That's
that
what it sounded like.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounded like.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
So if you're out there, dude, my bad. That's not what I was trying to. All right. I still had zero clue he liked me at this point. I ended up having my daughter right after he took his MCAT. About a month later, he and I decided to go on a night hike and drink some beers at the peak. We hiked 8 miles, had dinner, and he dropped me off at my place around 1 a.m. and didn't say anything. He got home, and I guess he wouldn't get out of his car until he told me how he felt, so he texted me. We went pretty slow at first because I was so hesitant to lose such an important friend, but it's the best decision that I've ever made. He proposed to me 10 months later in the same spot we hiked on our first date, and now we're married and we have a second baby on the way. Oh, and he's the only dad my daughter knows. She has zero connection to the sperm donor. Not only is he an amazing, supportive partner, but he's also the best dad. I got incredibly lucky meeting him through work and having coincidental circumstances keep aligning the stars for both of us to be in the same place at the same time. He truly is my best friend, the love of my life, and I've never had a better or healthier relationship. He's now a medical student, so he still managed to do well on his MCAT, even though he was dropping everything for me during his dedicated study time, and I had no idea. So a nice story where it went well.
That was precious.
Damn. Right? But at the beginning, they were both in other relationships.
Yeah, so... I mean, if you're in a relationship and your relationship is like, whatever, you guys are committed and everything, but you meet someone that you click with, like, at what point are you crossing the line? I think it's the conflict that Emily has with these stories. Emily's like, but.
No. I mean, but there's a point when you have to be honest with yourself and say, like, the relationship you're in isn't what you want.
Yeah.
It sounds like they waited, though. It sounded like they did both kind of like wait until the time was right.
He clearly had feelings the whole time.
First of all, I think that some things are fate. Like, some things happen for a reason. And I do think that, like, them seeing each other several times throughout their experience, I think that obviously, like, shows something. Yeah. But I think that's super dope. It takes a strong man to love somebody through pregnancy, with somebody being pregnant with somebody else's child, and then to take care of that child like they're their own. So obviously he really loves her and they really built a friendship, and that's super dope. You don't find that. That's rare. So kudos to them.
That was the part of the story that I was like, this dude is not playing games.
Yeah. Some people are gems that you just do not meet again, and circumstances don't matter that much. You know what I mean? It is what I believe in, love in that type of way. So, but I'm a hopeless romantic, so don't ask me.
Okay, so do you believe in soulmates?
Yes, but I believe you can have more than one.
Me too.
What? That the whole thing of a soulmate is
me too.
Wow.
Wow, you believe you got more than one?
Yeah, but the thing is, a soulmate, I don't think a soulmate is exclusively romantic. I think you can have a soulmate in someone who is your sibling. I really believe that. But I know the context you're speaking in. The context you're speaking in is in a romantic setting.
Yeah, don't do that case, with your sibling, please.
I know, right? Right. I know. But just to answer that from that point, I mean, I think that you can have someone that you have a powerful connection with. Let's say, for example, the person I'm with now, you know, I have a powerful connection with her. And that's why we're oceans apart. Ooh, but yeah. I'm like, yo, that's my dog. The thing is, I'll be honest, if something ever happened to her, God forbid, give it a 4 or 5 years, I'm likely to meet someone else that I have a powerful connection with too. It comes around, I believe, every 3, 4, 5 years for someone. That's what I believe.
Well, and that's the hope, though, because if your partner, God forbid, passes away or something like that, you would hope that they find another person that they can have that kind of soul connection with. So I think that's understandable.
Right.
Yeah, I think maybe my whole issue with the whole soulmate thing is just like, one, everyone has slightly different definitions of it. So it's like, I don't even know where the concept of soulmates came from besides like rom-coms. And then for real, I think rom-coms really poisoned our minds as like,
I'm sure it was like way before that.
Me watching Hitch, thinking that's how life was.
Oh, I love Hitch.
You are not listening.
That's a whole conversation.
Yeah.
Well, what do you classify a soulmate? I classify a soulmate as someone who is just like, you guys continuously have a kind of like a magnetic force drawing you together. You guys are, but in more than one area, not just sex, not just friendship, not just relationship, not just hobbies. Like, you guys are just drawn to each other.
I think this is the closest I've come to kind of being like, okay, I think I can accept the whole
believing a little bit
soulmate thing. Because before, my whole thing was just like, you really believe there's one person out there for you? Like, because when people would say soulmate, they would make it seem like,
if you miss the boat, you miss it.
Yeah, I'm just like, what are you talking about? Like,
so true.
That's why I said it could be multiple people, because I feel like that's almost impossible. You can literally just miss the red light and not meet that person that, like, come on, God, don't do that to me. I got... Like, you know, so that's just like, that makes it so much more rare. Like, I needed to be a couple hundred of these. You
like
know?
In the afterlife being like, where was my soulmate?
Give me better odds. Give me better odds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's what? How many billion people that live on this earth? Come on. It cannot just be one person. I don't believe it.
And I think the idea of like one person is so toxic, because like, it'll make people stay in crazy relationships because they're like, but this is my soulmate.
Or see, don't, like, when you see red flags or see, like, warning signs of somebody in a bad relationship, you, like you said, you just continue to stay because you're like, we're gonna make it work. Because
we're soulmates. I'm like, yeah. What do you mean?
People hold an umbrella of love, soulmate, all that, and they hold it as like an umbrella over a relationship and make it seem like that's all that you need to be in a relationship. Love is, a relationship is so much more than love, so much more than sex, so much more than soulmate. It don't matter how much of a soulmate that you are. If you don't know how to manage money, communicate, be honest, loyal, all those things play a role. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that that's the problem a lot of times with relationships is that people, like in these, this couple, obviously things weren't as they should be in their relationships. But people lose, like, I guess I would say, like, the tenacity or the motivation to work on it. And they just kind of glide along until they get fed up enough. Meanwhile, kids be happening and stuff.
Yeah.
she said they be happening.
No, I'm just being real. Like, they know, so many people I know do that. They stay with somebody that they know they're not happy with, that they know the potential is there, but it's not right. They're not happy. Right. And they concentrate on the good moments. But for real, the good moments is here and there too. Like, I don't want to be with somebody that I'm 60% happy with. No one is perfect. But as far as our connection and our, how we manage our stress levels, I can't be bothered. No.
It's true.
I'm being honest. People be, how many people you notice in a relationship are miserable? No relationship is perfect, but either we're going to go to therapy or we're going to head out. But we're not about to do, like, I'm not, we're not about to just sit here and float and have kids.
Yeah.
I feel like that's most Band-Aids. People.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like most people, I feel like most people are in relationships that they're not happy.
And then kids come and you get even more stressed out. And that's when people break up. But now you done created all this unnecessary trauma. And so I just feel like at the end of the day, exactly. Yeah. So, and it ends up being traumatic sometimes for the child too. So I just feel like, you know what I mean? Some people put, have kids and they don't think about that part of it when it's like, no, I really only want to be with somebody if I'm happy. And I want to create a love child if that works out. But I don't just want kids just to be having kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are people who literally will try to have kids to fix the relationship. Yeah. Which
kids is Band-Aids. It doesn't work.
Right. Or like her, like she seemed like she just probably was with him. She thought she was getting married. So she just probably was with her fiance. She wasn't happy, but she just got pregnant. But I just think, again, it's just a thought process. I think we just have to be more intentional sometimes about like how we view the relationship. And like, I heard somebody one time having check-ins, like monthly check-ins or every 6 months, like, you all right? Okay, you cool. We good. What do we need to work on? Something. But we can't just be popping out babies.
Yeah. All right. Next story. I worked with this RN tech couple who met at work and started dating. It had been a few months when one night, the guy, who's the RN, decided it would be so romantic if he proposed while they were working together. He did it in the empty patient room where they first met. She said yes, and everyone was like, yay. But then they had to finish working the remaining 10 hours of their shift. I don't know. That's just not for me.
Yeah. I'm trying to imagine that happening. Yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah. That's not the way I want to do it. But I don't know. It's sentimental, I guess. Like, I'm trying to.
This girl's being very much like, yeah, this is what they did. I don't know. It's like. Like, why would you want to propose, like, at the beginning 2 hours of your shift at work? Like, at least come, like, on a day off. I don't know. It just seems like...
Well, even, I don't know. I wouldn't want that to be tied to a hospital for me. But,
at all.
I don't know. Some people are sentimental about things that maybe we aren't. You know what I mean? So maybe that room was sentimental for some reason.
Oh,
but
clearly.
I do think...
They met there.
It is now. I mean, it's like, where you got engaged.
It's their 1 year anniversary. We're going to have a dinner.
Some people are the type that like don't even get a ring and don't care about a wedding. So maybe they were them type of people that's just like, we don't care about stuff like that.
It's definitely a personal preference. So I'm like hesitant to like... say how like I personally feel, but that's not.
How do you feel?
Just you can. If wait, Evie, don't say anything. Evie, wait. If you watch the video, you can see his shake head or yes or no.
No, all I'm saying is basically like.
Is he romantic? Are you?
Am I a romantic person? I don't know. That's a good question. I need to ask like a former, like an ex or something. I don't know. I think I can be, but like, to me, that's sentimental. I don't know if I would call that romantic because of the fact that like, yeah, after that, they probably had to go deal with all the normal bedside stuff. You probably cleaned up poop shortly after, you know, it's just, right. Yeah. Like,
well, let me be clear though. You can make anything romantic if you care enough. He could have had that whole room filled with roses if he wanted to. He could have had her family pop out.
In the hospital.
He could have, but I'm just saying, he could have made it romantic in another way. Like maybe came in on a day that they weren't working.
That's what I'm saying. You know, have a little,
like plan somebody, a random, oh, such and such's baby shower today. Let's go in and give him a gift. And you get there and now the room's all decorated. Her family's there. He could have made it better. Put it like that. Come on, homeboy.
I mean, are they going to come back every year to celebrate that?
You know, like I'm just like, anniversary dinner in this hospital. Like, no.
I wouldn't want to be tied to the hospital I work at forever, right?
You want to be tied to room 304?
Yeah, like I wouldn't want to be like...
I don't know. I could just imagine like a psych patient running in there while there's people.
Yeah. All right. Well, also, I mean, what if like... Actually, I'm going to stop. Never
mind. Just go to the next, right, one. Next, go to the next one.
Okay, next story. I worked in a medical pulmonary ICU, but floated to other ICUs on occasion. Well, at this time, I was in the general surgical ICU, and the gossip of the day was about a new nurse who was being fired for being in a relationship with a resident. Apparently, the new nurse had been hired beginning of July, same time as the new residents arrived. One of the senior surgical residents threw a welcome party for the newbies, which included nurses from the STICU. That's how they both met. Long story short, the administration got wind of the relationship and fired her because of the policy that states, the first 3 months, a new nurse cannot engage in a relationship with someone from the hospital. But I guess the policy didn't apply to the resident because he got to stay.
That sounds a bit sexist.
That's wrong, man.
Some double standards.
Yeah. And I just feel like, are we minding our business or...
Yeah, like, what does the hospital have a policy?
Is there a policy?
I didn't
about
even
this?
Know that, yeah, that existed. Yeah.
I'd be like, excuse me?
Like, I'm sure she's like so excited to start a new job, gets invited to go to this, like, whatever get together, like meets a nice somebody, guy. They're like talking, it's great. And then all of a sudden they're like, by the way, you're fired. But he gets to stay.
But let's be very clear, like doctors are not our supervisors. I think people be thinking that, like doctors have nothing to do with us. Like they, yeah. At a lot of institutions, they're not even, we don't even have the same people sign our checks. Like they completely are two different entities. So yeah. Like doctors are not our supervisors. It doesn't necessarily benefit us at all to date a doctor because they cannot give us a raise other than put in a good word for us. They really don't have any real control over our jobs.
Besides,
they can't give us a better assignment. Yeah, but like you're supposed to do that. Like, what's yeah. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one thing if she would have said her nurse manager or, you know, something like that, but like we could all benefit from minding our business.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand why the hospital needs to even have a policy on that. That's just weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wrong. I don't get that.
And on TV, doctors are supervisors, though. So maybe they got it from there.
Well, I don't even know if it was because it was a doctor thing. I think you just can't date anyone for your first 3 months, which is just like, what does that have to do with anything?
Sticky.
Yeah.
All right, next one.
I'm a CV ICU night shift RN who had her first 6 months orientation during the day shift and became acquaintances with a day shift RT. We'll call him Ed. He took an interest in me and asked me for my phone number, and he's not bad looking and seemed really nice, so we began going on dates. 3 months later, we made it official, and our coworkers slowly started getting the word about our relationship. One of the night RTs told me one night that he was well known to be a playboy at work and can't keep a girlfriend, so I should keep an eye on him. Sure enough, a bit before our 1 year anniversary, I had noticed that he had a friend, Gerald, who texted him a lot at night. When I asked who it was, he said it was his friend. When I finally met Gerald in the flesh, I noticed he had an Android phone, but Gerald's texts on Ed's phone were blue. And this Gerald would use female emojis a lot too. I figured this was obviously a girl, so when I was sleeping over at Ed's house, I looked through his phone and saved Gerald's number on my phone and went to my car and called the number and a girl answered. Keep in mind, this is around 7 a.m. and Ed always sleeps in until around noon on his days off. I tried to be as non-confrontational as possible, just in case this was all one big misunderstanding. And I just explained to the girl on the phone that Ed and I have been together for almost a year, but I wanted to know what was going on because Ed has been hiding something from me about this Gerald on his phone. This girl tells me that she's Ed's ex-girlfriend and her name was, we'll call her Christy. Christy goes on to say she and Ed dated for about 2 years, but he suddenly broke up with her about a year ago when Ed and I started dating. But he has always kept in touch with her and wanted to remain friends with benefits, and he's still been having her sleep over from time to time. I asked her if we could meet so we could give each other all the details and see what else Ed has been lying about, and she agrees. We say we might as well meet at his house to confront him. I waited for her to arrive, and I let her into the house, and we confronted him in his bedroom where he was sound asleep. He was rudely awakened with a slap to the face, and both of us yelling at him. He stared back, dumbfounded and speechless. I collected my belongings that I kept at his house over the past year and left. Christy and I, strangely enough, became friends, and luckily enough, I don't ever have to have contact with Ed since he works the opposite shift. So yeah, my workplace relationship was a shit show, to say the least.
Damn.
But you know what's funny? I don't know why people mess with women. Women are the most intuitive people in the world. Leave us alone. We go and find out. Leave us alone.
Or be honest.
Yeah.
Why? Like that, like you texting Gerald all times of the night with heart emojis. Like, my man, we were going to find out. Like, why? Like, I just feel like women, our spidey senses are no joke. Our Florence Nightingale senses, whatever you want to call them, they are no joke. So I just feel like, why? It's such a waste of energy. Like, you ever wake up and you slept in and you woke up like, oh my God, I got to get to work or I got to get to school or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that having two women that you're sleeping with smack the shit out of you while you're asleep is like that times 10.
That's the worst.
Like, you could have went in to be fit for real. Like, that was like that's terrible. Why would you even want that type of emotion and that type of energy and that type of bad juju on your life?
I wonder if Roddy was having a nightmare. Like, he's like, am I awake?
Yeah. Hey, wait, real quick question though. The second girl, did he say that? Did she say that girl worked there too? Or
no?
I might have missed that.
No,
she didn't. She didn't know who the second girl was, and the second girl got broken up with like abruptly, and wasn't sure like what was up. But it must have been right around the time he started dating the girl who wrote the story.
Who works with him?
Yeah, who works with him.
Ooh, sticky.
But the other two remain friends with benefits.
Yeah. You know, the craziest part of that story to me, though, is that he had an actual friend named Gerald that he was using as, like, his cover. And then she met that friend and noticed he had an Android. And that's insane.
Duh. That's what you notice.
Yeah, that's the same.
That's what I'm saying. Women be knowing. Like, and I'm sure men have their own senses, too.
Like, who picks up on stuff like that?
I feel like we girls do.
Women, that's all we've been telling y'all. Leave us alone,
dude. Evie, I would have never noticed that over my head.
If I was suspicious of someone texting his friend Gerald and then I met Gerald, I would immediately look and see what kind of phone he had.
I would never, like, you know, honestly, I had to read that part several times over, and I was like, oh wow, like, I was like, this is genius.
Here's my thing, though, with these type of situations, and I had to learn this the hard way, man, because, you know, look, as a guy, look, I'm not against having multiple whatevers, you know what I'm saying? But what I've learned is when you're honest, it pays. It's hard to be honest, but it pays to be honest. Once you're honest and upfront, folks can get mad, but you got to be honest with people, man. That's my thing.
You're saying some crazy stuff out here. You're saying some crazy shit. No. Brandon, we're gonna have to cut all that out.
We gotta cut what out?
He's talking about my part.
I'm just joking.
Man, I got stories, man. I just have learned from experience. Dude, just be honest. If you're gonna do it. Just be honest first, man. That's it.
Appreciate it.
I just feel like being honest gives that person an out. You know, give me an opportunity to realize whether or not I want to go through that or not. Like, you know what I mean? And there are so many women that feel the way that you probably do. There's a lot of women that just want to get their rocks off too. Like, let me know. You know what I mean? So that way we can go approach this the right way. And I found that those relationships where they can be honest, sometimes they flourish into beautiful things because you really gain a certain amount of loyalty and like trust to each other because you're so honest. So now I'm gonna be like, well, why would he lie to me now? We've been friends this whole time and he's been being honest, whether we were sleeping together or not. So it's no reason for him to lie now that we're in a relationship. So like being honest from the beginning to me even builds trust rather than to like be sneaky, because now it's over for that. Like, you know, once you show that kind of sneakiness and manipulation and
yeah. Sticky. Yeah.
When you have to turn into the investigator, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to be honest. I'm not saying that it is.
It's hard. It's very hard.
Love ain't easy either. And I just stand on the side and leave it and do no harm.
Next story is pretty good. Transition to that.
Okay. I worked at a hospital for 6 years before graduating with my MP and leaving to an acute setting. I was single and getting mine with no regrets. I slept with a tech, a nurse, two security guards, RT, and a distribution.
Sorry.
She's being honest.
She's being honest. We're here to be honest. Keep going.
And a distribution worker. Came close with two docs, but never sealed the deal. Places we used. Radiology room, old unused office, empty penthouse under construction, elevator machine room, had to climb a ladder for that one, parking garage, supply rooms.
Gross.
Yeah, parking or supply room, that's risky. RT office, bathroom, stairwells. I'm sure I'm leaving something out. RT and I kissed in the patient's room, super quick, and the patient was out of it, or so we thought. A week later, we're putting in a PMV, and the patient said, "I saw that, you know," and gave me a wink. I'm lucky I never got caught because I've always been under the impression that they fire you immediately for things like that. My spouse now thinks all of it is comical because everyone has a past. Comments?
How do people not get fired for this shit? What?
Yeah. The other day... there was a thread about someone asked if people have hooked up at work, and we did like a poll, and I think it was below 10%, but close to 10% of like probably like 10,000 people who answered that survey said they've had sex at work, which that would never occur to me to do anything. Yeah, like I'm just
too
like
scared to do that.
Yeah, that's so
here's
insane.
Here's the thing. Once I walk into the hospital, I'm dirty. Like, and I wouldn't want to be intimate with anybody else that walks into the hospital. Like, I feel extremely dirty once I walk in. And to me, like, come on, guys, you've seen it. Like, somebody is asking for something outside the room with their gloves on, possibly touching the door handle or the window. We touch a lot of things that may not necessarily always get cleaned correctly. So the audacity to bend over and expose, I don't even want my skin to touch other things. Like, this is all that I want to touch anything, you know? So, like, I can't imagine.
It's crazy.
But some people some people really do get off on the thought of somebody catching them.
Yeah.
Or, like, sex outside. And me personally, I don't. I think that I like to be safe. I don't care. I don't want nobody to catch me.
You can't focus. Like, I just feel like I'd be like.
No. I could look at the door the whole time. Like, I wouldn't even be really able to really concentrate. But I know so many people that do find that kind of stuff sexy. So to each his own.
Yeah, but I feel like the supply closet is gross simply for the fact that, like, now my supplies that I'm, like, the third party just coming in to get supplies, even if I don't catch you, like, what did you touch that are supposed to be clean in my supply room?
And how much time do we got? How much time did you do that with? Is there any foreplay? What happened?
Ain't no foreplay in this damn hospital.
I got 15 minutes.
But is it even worth it at that point? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's me, but I don't want to. I'm good.
Look, clearly for her, it is worth. It's the thrill. She's all about the thrill. That's what I got from that.
Climbing ladders.
One thing about it, sis got her fill. I know that's right. When she got to her husband, she was good. She didn't experience good. It all.
Hey, back to what Emily.
Shout out to your husband for having a sense of humor.
Hey, back to what Emily said though. Like the idea of like doing all that in there. I was just picturing like, you know, they're always worried about like line associated infections and all these other things.
Yep.
They find they do an investigation.
Like your pick had.
There's semen on your pick line. Like, we don't know why this keeps happening.
Christ. And then, like, in front of a patient, why would you ever do that?
Thrill.
You know, like when you're like drawing someone's blood and you're like connecting that, the
Vacutainer.
Yeah, the Vacutainer. Like, if it's like in there and you're like messing up their like blood results, like, we don't.
Yeah. Think about the patient, guys. If you're gonna have sex in the supply closet, just think about the patient.
Wait, but pause. Do you guys actually know people that do this?
Absolutely.
Like personally?
Oh yeah.
I don't know anyone personally.
Not me. But. I wouldn't do it. But yes, many times.
Oh yeah.
Actually, I do. There is a traveler who would tell me tales of all his ventures, and sometimes I was just like, bro, you're absolutely crazy.
Wild.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, sometimes on night shift, it gets slow, and that suddenly people need to tell you shit like that. For like, I was like, bro.
Life is short. You got to live it to the fullest, baby. Whatever works for y'all, you know? That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot. But then, you know... Before I go to the next story, the stories this guy would tell me, though, like, at first I was like, he's just making this stuff up. Like, I remember I would always think that I was like, story time with so-and-so. Like, that's what me and my friends joke about. And then I got confirmation from one of the people he talked, like, and I was like, wow, I would not have really thought any of that was actually happening. So, it must all be happening on night shift.
Definitely night shift.
I'm just saying, you can't just say it's only night shift. There's probably some day shift people. Now, maybe I don't have time at work.
Are you worried about night shift coming for me?
No, I'm not.
Like, it's them. They know it. They're probably going to be proud of this. Like,
night shift. That's not really true, though. That's not true, though, because I know day shift nurses that have said that they've used, like, on-call rooms, stuff like that. Yeah. I just don't know them personally like that, but I know day shift nurses that do. So I just think it depends on what field you're in. Because, you know, also, people always act like all nurses do the same thing. It's like 50-11 different types of nurses. Like, it's so many people that do so many different jobs that it's so possible that they could find different areas. You know what I mean?
And plus, I guess if you're messing around with a resident who has a sleep room, I mean, that's pretty
easy.
Y'all are set, so... All right, next story. For my first nursing job, I worked at a long-term care facility, and I was also in active addiction. Yes, this information has a purpose in this story. But I had a not-so-fun IV drug habit use, and also was taking about 40 to 60, 30 milligram Roxys a day. I was 2 years deep into actively using when I got my first job. The director of medicine where I worked hit on me during one of my first shifts. It was really late at night, and he was there late catching up on some charting. He brought up the topic of strip clubs and told me I would make a lot of money as a stripper because of how sexy I was. He was...
Wow.
Yeah. He was attractive, so I played into it.
Of course.
After a while, we ended up hooking up in his office during one of my breaks. The trend continued for a couple of weeks, about 4 times a week. And one day, he noticed some using marks on my arm, and he asked me about it. I basically broke down and told him that I had been using since my son died. He empathized with me and asked me if I was using during shifts. I was honest and told him I didn't use at work. At least not yet. I thought he was going to disclose to my manager, etc., but he didn't. About a week after, I found that he was married to one of the MPs that would come in for patient rounds every now and then. So the next time he was in the building, I told him that I thought we should end things. This is where things get fucked up on both of our parts. He suggested that we continue hooking up and that he would write me Roxy scripts.
Holy
shit. And hello, addict with a very, very expensive habit. So being able to get some Roxys that were covered by my insurance, I said, hell yes. This agreement continued for another 6 months until one day I was caught in his office after my shift ended. Luckily, we were only making out, but still we were caught. I ended up getting fired for being unprofessional in the workplace. He is currently still the director of medicine at the same facility. This all happened 5 years ago. I did get clean, by the way, within a month of being fired. I recently relapsed, but I am now 84 days clean.
Fuck.
So yeah, that's a crazy fucking story.
I just have empathy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one because I think that like when people think of addicts or people with mental issues, period, they think that they're so separate from them. Like it's so hard to get to that point when it's so easy. Mm-hmm. And having a death like that can make you spiral into that easily. So I can totally see how she got there. It's just unfortunate that he was even willing to push her there further. Even he's the sober one.
He's taking advantage.
Right.
Yeah. And the fact that if she's the one that's fired and if he's still working there, which we can't verify, but like, what?
That's fucked up, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's probably done this before.
Yeah, that's a lot. But that's why you got to be careful dealing with people that are higher ups, because you're always going to be the one that's fired. So, sis, Like, I could have told you that. They're always going to fire you first. He's the director of medicine.
Yeah, he had nothing to lose, really. He kind of was like...
Yeah, but that's just insane. The level of, like, he's like, I'll just... He knows she's... Yeah, like, that's...
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, that's... Oh, it's heavy.
And see, and that's why I say it's levels to cheating. Because, like, we can't come back from that. You not only were you willing to cheat, but you cheated long term. You cheated with the same person over and over. You risked your job, and then on top of that, you wrote scripts for this person, which are easily traceable, because if they cared enough, they could have dug into that and found that out. Like, you know what I mean? That's just so far on so many levels, and so much manipulation had to go into that. Like, I'm good.
Sure, he's so good at manipulation. And I wonder what his wife, like, what her perspective is. If she even found out, if she knows, like,
we don't know ethnicity of this medical director, do we?
No.
All right.
That's unfortunate.
Where are you going with that? I'm curious.
Like, his mouth is like, oh.
We don't have to.
All right. Next story. I got involved with a traveler while he was on break from his girlfriend, then got dumped for said girlfriend, and they left to go travel nursing in Alaska. This guy also...
How... Does it sound familiar? Is this you?
No, I was like...
That sucks. Sorry, guy... go ahead.
You know, why did you mute yourself? I'm just kidding.
I'm glad we're recording this Zoom, because I feel like Val's reactions.
Yeah.
Like, you guys won't hear him say anything, but he...
If you guys watch the video of this, you're welcome. All right.
This guy also convinced me to let his friend live in my spare room. Fast forward a year or so, he comes back to my city, and he and I became a thing again. I'm ashamed to say that at this point, I knew he was still in a relationship, and I went along with being the other woman. Fast forward a couple of years later, and he and I are sleeping together occasionally. And then I find out that this man is going to be my nursing instructor in both clinical and theory. And that obviously didn't go well. And we both made some mistakes that led to him trying to have me committed because he feared for his safety.
What?
That's in quotes.
It's so much more to the story.
Right? Yeah. Right? Yeah,
that's exactly what he said. I was like, she left us with the, we both made mistakes. I'm like,
What were these mistakes?
We both.
You was almost 302, sis. It's more to the story.
Everyone's guilty here.
You know what that means when they say that.
He was trying to have me committed because he feared for his safety. When I think in reality, he just wanted to discredit me because I tried all quarter to get out of his clinical and he assured me that he wouldn't treat me any differently. But it was just a highly unethical situation. That's why I don't date coworkers anymore. There's so much missing from the story. Right?
Well, first of all, sis, don't make it seem like you don't date coworkers no more. You don't date people that's in relationships no more. That's like the bigger umbrella. Like, that's not, don't make it seem like it's work, sis. That wasn't the problem.
That's her.
It was that. And then he became his clinical instructor.
And then you did some crazy shit. It almost got you 302 that you're just going to leave out. No, buddy.
If you're listening, we'd like to hear the rest of the story.
Yeah, feel free to write it. We'll keep you anonymous, but we kind of want the full story.
Yeah, what else?
And let's be clear. I think we've all done some things that we're not proud of in relationships that could have been seen a certain way through different perspectives. But you need to put that in a story before you just say he tried to get me committed and then just keep going. Like, that part
anyways.
You skipped over. Like, oh yeah, and then I
need to go into that.
But anyway.
Okay, one more. I dated a PA at a busy ER we both worked at. We were together for about 5 months. I met his family. We traveled together. I felt a real connection. He broke up with me suddenly out of the blue on a weekend. I was devastated, confused, and heartbroken. 2 weeks later, I saw this asshole tagged in a photo with another nurse from that same ER that I trained. They were on a mountain getaway together. Obviously, they've been fucking the whole time while we were together. With collaborative proof from other nurses, seeing them exchanging numbers and talking way too close for comfort while he was dating me. Since we worked different shifts, I was clueless. Fast forward 2 years. I'm the lead trauma nurse at a different ER, and this homewrecker gets a job in my ER. Needless to say, it was insanely uncomfortable every time I saw her. In the end, I dodged a bullet, and those two losers can live happily ever after. All right, I'll say she just sounds a little bitter. She sounds a little salty. She's
salty, bro. Salty. Yeah.
She's probably hurt.
Okay, that's a better word.
She's salty.
But you know what? I think people also need to identify relationships better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because like a lot of times, are y'all really together or are y'all just dating? Are y'all exclusive? Like people be telling stories sometimes as if the story was like, and the other person will have a completely different story. Like, no, we were just dating. We slept together a few times. She came to my house. We were definitely getting closer, but we weren't in a relationship. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is that when we have these stories of these men or women that are breaking it off and then going to the next person, what did y'all have? You know what I mean? That it was, because there's not many committed relationships that you can break off and that just be it. I need to come get my stuff. what kind of committed relationship are y'all in that it just took a text message to like let it go? So I just think that, and I'm not saying that she's not, that she don't have a right to be hurt, because whether you're committed or not, you can have a strong bond with somebody and still feelings be hurt. So I'm not saying it like that, but I just feel like sometimes we villainize people for moving on. When I told you, would you rather somebody sit there and waste your time, or would you rather somebody be honest with you and move on? They don't have to tell you about their next relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And honestly, I don't know about other people, but ignorance is bliss. When I'm done with somebody, I don't want to know what you got going on. Mm-hmm. I don't want to know at all.
Don't hurt yourself. Scrolling like that last timeline. Hurt your own feelings.
My last long-term relationship, within 6 months or so, he moved on to somebody else. Everybody in their mom would ask me like, oh, well, was he with her when you were talking? I don't know and I don't care. I never inquired. I don't want to know. Once I'm done with somebody, we're on to the next. I don't mind it. You know, she's a great stepmom to my son.
You guys are honestly dropping some,
inside knowledge.
Yeah. On my other Instagram page that was my personal page, which now is just whatever discussions people want to talk about. But it always comes back to relationships and stuff, right? I need to have you come talk to them, both of you.
Yeah, no, I'm down, because I just feel like we waste so much negative energy dwelling on things that don't matter. Mm-hmm. If you guys are done, that is all that matters. I don't need to know what escapades or what things he did wrong to me or whatever. Like sometimes it can help for closure if you were curious. But if you cheated on me one time, I don't need to know about the rest. Sometimes we just overly hurt ourselves by digging. You still follow that person. You still check up on them. You got a fake page to watch what they doing. You following the girl.
Wait, people do that?
All the time. All the male and female too. Like I'm not that kind of person. Once I'm off of you, I'm off. Maybe it's an Aries thing, but like, once I'm off of you, I'm off of you. And I don't really think about that person in a sense, like to figure out stuff. So if somebody told me, and I'm not saying that it's not normal to be hurt. I've been hurt before, but it just never made me want to like keep that person in my life. Like I want you to be erased. Don't even say that you ever talked to me.
Like, not a lot of people have that.
That's what I was going to say. But Sheena, your perspective is so mature, but you have to understand at the same time that
it's hard to get
most
there.
Most people aren't there.
Yeah. They're
just not.
Some people might never get there.
Yeah.
And I feel that. I'm not knocking them either. Because I was different too at one point in time. That's why I said it's okay to be hurt. It's okay to be bitter. It's okay for all those things. But when you make that person a villain in your story, you give them power. You're not the villain. I can forgive me. I can ask myself to change. I can get closure for myself. I can't get closure from somebody else. They may never apologize to me in the way that will help me heal. But I can change me. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to dwell on what you did. I'm going to move forward. Of course I want to stab you in the eye. Duh. Like, of course. But I also don't want to go to jail, and I also want to be happy.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed the first episode of season 2. We have the part 2 coming up for you next week. In the meantime, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. As always, if you like this podcast and you would like to support us, check out nursepeak.com. We have plenty of merch on there.
There's a lot of other great stuff on there as well.
A lot of other great stuff on there.
New merch,
a forum. Please come back next week to check out the second part of this episode and every Thursday after that. Thank you guys again.
We're great.
You're great. That's what I meant. All right. We'll see you next week. You guys take care. Bye.